The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm a normal person, you know. I'm just going to do what I do. I'm going to use it to the best of my abilities, and I'm going to try my hardest and hope for the best. What's meant to be is going to be, whatever it may be.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I am Zuri Hall.
I'm Scott Evans.
And this is The Vault by Access Hollywood. Today on The Vault.
Uh-oh.
You better get ready.
You got
ready.
A big old grin.
Y2K, baby. This is peak flare leg denim, bleach blonde tips, camouflage.
Whoa. Are we talking velour? Are we
Pokemon,
talking velour?
Velour are we, suits.
Are we juicy, talking Von Dutch? Juicy Couture?
Don't get me started on a Von Dutch trucker hat. 3 weeks Frayed. Of my allowance piled up.
Yes. Frayed at the edge with some rhinestones.
Oh my God. There was always a rhinestone to be found in the late 90s, early 2000s. Also to be found in this iconic era. Singer, actress, author, and fashion designer. One of the queens of MTV during this decade. The one and only Jessica Simpson.
Is this chicken or fish? Because like,
but it says it chicken says of the sea.
Yeah, so, I was a fan. I was into it. The reality show did it for me. I mean, it was like Jessica Simpson with Nick Lachey in a relationship in this beautiful house in Los Angeles. It was like all of the things that I needed to see to be like, LA is where you need to be.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah. As far as the music was concerned, I remember, wasn't there the...
She was very breathy, right, with her sense.
I feel like it was like rain. Yeah,
that's her, right?
I think so.
Love with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her, because that dance on that. Yes, just
yeah.
All that.
It's like whispery.
Right.
You know. Right.
A lot of oxygen.
Yeah. Lots of air. Lots of air. Control.
Hot breath. A lot of hot breath. For me, more than the music, like I like the singles, they were cute, but I loved her clothing line. She was the first kind of like pop star of that era that I was like, wait, what? Clothing? What? Mm-hmm. And then it was lit. I remember she started making more headlines for the sales that her clothing line was doing. Those shoes were the most comfortable pair of peep-toed heels I have ever owned. I'd wore them.
The Jessica Simpson heel?
Yes.
You done crunched your foot up into a Jessica Simpson heel?
Just curled up them little velociraptor toes and just blushed the front of that heel and just got to hobbling. I guess, yes, I did. They were turquoise and orange.
My precious.
But Jessica held me down. I kept those 9.5s for a good 5-6 years.
Well, I think that was one of the things that contributed to her success. Her continued success in fashion is that she had a very hands-on approach. She's one of the very first pop stars to lend their name and their input to a clothing line. She didn't just put her name, slap her name on it, right? I remember seeing interviews and even conducting interviews with her about, you know, how hands-on, how intense she was involved. Right. But like she created a heel at entry level. So you felt like you had some high fashion.
A little something.
You had a red bottom.
It might not have been red. It might have been purple. Might have been cheetah.
Like a little dusty brown.
You know, but you were stepping out. I remember if you were in a college town and you were on a date, she had on either Charlotte Russe.
Mm-hmm. Forever 21 was the day to day. Charlotte Russe, you were feeling a little classy. Charlotte Russe. You kind of wanted to elevate.
What was that BB?
Ooh, love BB, bebe.
Oh, yes. Oh, bebe.
And then that's back in the day when I was like, I bought a BB shirt with the rhinestones on the front that spelled out BB.
Yes.
And I was like, this is tacky. I was like, everybody is going to know.
They going to know.
I got paid and I splurged. I treated myself to a little BB. And it's on the front of my shirt. Just
this $37 t-shirt.
Right.
This
one. That I worked 2 weeks at the mall for.
Yes. But the Jessica Simpson heel was the coup de grace. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was what a time to be alive. Yeah. Y2K.
Yeah, the world was
knew
to end.
That it would Look be 2020. It would all go down.
That's when it all went to hell. But we're back. 2021, baby.
We made it. Let's go back. Let's go back. Like we've said, we've been a part of Jessica Simpson's career since the early days. She signed to Columbia Records in 1997. Wow, I haven't said 1990 something in a long time. Yeah.
Long
1997.
Time.
She was just 16 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, signed.
Mm.
Doing the. Listen, it worked because not too long after she got signed, she was opening up for Ricky Martin.
Oh, and this is peak Ricky. This is solo Ricky.
She bangs. You know what I'm saying?
Living la vida loca.
Do you hear me? Access caught up with her for the first time in 1999 during a photo shoot for YM magazine. Do they still print that?
I would like to think we're talking collector's issues at this point.
Okay.
Well, there might be a digital version somewhere.
Yes. Aw, magazines. Listen to a 19-year-old Jessica Simpson. She's going to talk about her career, going on tour with Ricky, and what it's like to be living her dream.
You're doing a lot of publicity right now, so things are really happening for you.
Yeah.
Are you getting used to the limelight at all? Or
I mean, I love it. I feel like I've been waiting on it for a really long time. I know I'm only 19, but I've been at it since I was 12. So to finally have the results of doing all the interviews and photo shoots and being on the Ricky Martin tour, I mean, it's a dream come true.
What is the Ricky Martin tour like? That must be crazy.
It's ridiculous. It is so awesome. His fans are just amazing. They love his music and they really have been responding to me well, which I look at as a blessing. So I'm having a blast, and he is so sincere and so nice, and just for him giving me this opportunity, I'm really grateful.
Was it intimidating when you found out you were doing the opening act for Ricky Martin? Because once you're opening act for him, I mean, your name, everyone's going to know who you are, and I mean, he packs the house. He's doing huge auditoriums, Madison Square Garden.
Well, I mean, I have the pressure every night to win the audience over because people aren't really familiar with me that well yet. So every night I have to go out there, not really people knowing my name, and win the crowd over. So hopefully by the end, they're really enjoying it and are into it. So I have that pressure every night to do that, but it's a good pressure to have.
Now, I'm going to ask you, a lot of young rock stars, a lot of the modeling industry is suddenly turning to rock stars. Have you noticed that at all? it's true, though. I mean, it used to be models, and then it went to actresses on the covers, but now all of a sudden the focus has kind of shifted to the young music stars.
Right.
So what do you think of all that? Why do you think people are looking suddenly to young artists, recording artists to sort of...
I don't know, probably just because people respond really well. It's young, it's fresh, it's new. I think that people, respond well to young new faces. So, I'm doing it all, acting. I just got a deal with the WB, and I'm going to do a one-hour drama with them. Then I'm doing movie stuff and modeling and, singing. So I think it's cool, the cross promotions. I think that it just makes it gets your name out there and makes you even bigger.
Right. You have to be certainly multi-talented. One thing doesn't work anymore.
Right. You got to do it all.
but seriously, for modeling though, it's all of a sudden I think, people before that couldn't identify with the supermodels, so then they were gone. And then people thought they could identify with the actresses and not have to become too much. So now people are identifying with young rock stars, do you feel? Do you feel a lot of young kids kind of look up to you guys and sort of
Yeah, sure.
So
I mean,
that's why you can model clothes and makeup. And people sort of want to hear your secrets.
You know what? That's why I love the industry, and that's why I'm so happy doing what I'm doing, because I've always felt a calling to be a positive role model for, you know, young girls, even women. I mean, anybody. I feel that calling. So to be doing this is a dream come true.
Dream come true.
I love it. What stood out to me the most was the fact that she's like, you know, I've been doing this since I was 12. If she was 19 at the time of that interview. I love when people remind you, you know, overnight successes aren't really a thing. Mm-hmm. If somebody just popped up out of nowhere, that was probably 10 years of grinding before the moment that they came, you know, into your world.
It made me think about opening acts, right? Mm-hmm. Like musical acts who've gone on tour to open for other big acts and then maybe become as big or bigger than the tour they were on at first.
Right.
Lady Gaga opened for the Pussycat Dolls.
Mm.
Katy Perry opened for No Doubt, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift and Rascal Flatts. Now, they would go on to do, they would go back to do more and more together. But I forgot that that's how we came to first kind of experience her. But this is the one, this, of course, we all know Demi Lovato and the Jonas Brothers, but this is the one that got me. Destiny's Child for SWV, Drew Hill, and Immature.
First of all, I would kill to be at that concert today.
Today.
That's the reunion concert we need.
First
and last. Okay.
Period with a T.
It's amazing. And what those artists have to do is really difficult, because even she was like, you know, they don't know me. This audience doesn't know me. Every night I have to go out there and essentially sell my music and sell, you know, my artistry and hope they warm up to it. And so at 19, to have the composure, the confidence in one's talent to win over a crowd who, to be clear, is not really there for you.
Not for you, boo.
That's the toughest job.
But to also have that awareness.
Yeah. Yeah.
To, you know, like you said, to have to know at 19 that that's what she's there. She's there to warm them up.
Right. Right.
To get the butts in the keep the butts in the seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that when Ricky comes through with banging.
Let's go.
Good Lord. Good. Well, I think, you know, that's probably a good place to go ahead and take a break, huh?
Take a little break. Let's do it.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back and we are going to keep moving through the vault with another throwback from the lovely Jessica Simpson. Next up, I want us to jump ahead. We're going to flash forward to 2005, okay?
Okay.
Jessica is a massive star at this point. She has released a number of highly successful albums. She's in a high-profile marriage with Nick Lachey. Newlyweds had just concluded on MTV. This was after three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica was starring in her very first movie, The Dukes of Hazzard. How could we forget the Daisy Dukes? Come on.
Come on.
She rocked them. She rocked them. Access caught up with Jessica on set to discuss the film and what this career shift meant to her. Listen to this.
Do you still see your career as one of seizing that moment while it's hot? Have you allowed yourself to kind of settle into the fact that this is a long-term deal?
you know, I'm all about taking advantage of amazing opportunities that come my way, and I know that I could not have them a year from now. So I really held out on doing movies until I really found the perfect script. And when I read the role of Daisy, since I am from the South and it was just such a fun character, I completely could relate to her. And I thought it was a good gradual move over into acting. That way, you know, people still can kind of see me as who I am as a music artist, but they can also get the feel of me acting a little bit.
Are you feeling like this could be a long haul career for you? Because when it's hot, Newlyweds was hot and all this thing was happening to you, but now you got this movie, you've got another one on tap, a romantic comedy coming up next, right?
I would love to be a movie star, a Julia Roberts or a Reese Witherspoon. I mean, I adore those women so much, and they're so inspirational and such great role models.
So altogether, this experience has been what to you?
I'm living a dream that I never knew I could live. It's pretty amazing how one career can lead to the next. And I'm just blessed to be able to do what I love, and that's entertain people.
You know, there was some controversy around the Newlyweds of like the chicken or fish, because it was like, okay, is Jessica playing? There's no way she really had that question. When you hear interviews like that, like this, you know how incredibly smart she is, like how business-minded she's always thinking of, how does this work in my business? How does this contribute to the other things that I'm working on? And so this interview is just another instance of realizing that.
Yeah. And also, in defense of the chicken of the sea moment, I feel like we all have, now granted, it's hard to defend, but what I am going to say is when you are in like your safe space with like your partner and y'all are on the couch just doing stupid stuff, saying dumb stuff. The dumb stuff that comes out of my mouth when I'm like, oh, my boyfriend ain't even listening to me. I'm just out here talking to talk. Like, I don't even know if I'm taking what I'm saying seriously. And he's just tuning me out. You know what I mean? So maybe she was just, you know, just kind of.
What?
You know, just like playing dumb for the camera. You know, it was just a little moment.
Is.
Yeah, just like maybe she was trolling us. It was the ultimate troll moment. And it was
So the joke's on us, eh?
Yes, all these years.
All these years.
I wonder, did she explore that in her book, in her memoir, Open Book?
You know, that's a good, I didn't pick that one up, but I will tell you that I do remember she got a commercial deal up out of that mess. So, ma'am.
There you go with the finesse.
And she got that money.
You hear me?
She got that money.
I love that she mentioned wanting to be a movie star. She talks about, you know, like a Julia Roberts or a Reese Witherspoon, because she did act. Obviously, that was when she was, you know, starting that journey with Dukes of Hazzard. But she also said, Jessica said that she passed on the role of Allie in The Notebook. That was one of the claims that she made when she came out with the new memoir, Open Book.
You said the Notebook, the one where they talk about, you I'll be a
what
bird.
What do you want?
It's with the rain and the blue dress.
Yes, that iconic movie.
Jessica Simpson was going to be who in that?
Right. So Allie, she was supposed to be the female lead, the Rachel McAdams. She was supposed to be the blue dress. She was blue dress.
Now hold up now.
She was.
Is this one of them like Quincy Jones? This is one of them Quincy Jones moments where you just get up, you just start talking, and you're like, yeah, and by the way, I was supposed to be in a Notebook, but I said, no.
I said,
I ain't got time for that.
I'm busy.
We might need to see a receipt on that one.
Okay.
I would be interested to see it, though. I would be interested to see it.
Well, look, we have a little something from the vault that we can give you. She chatted with us a little bit about why, you know, she said she passed on the role. So this is what she had to say.
Another major thing you talked about was the Notebook role, that you passed on it because of the sex scene.
I did. I mean, I did stand up for like the true love waits, and I was a pastor's daughter, and I was taught to respect my body, and that my body was, you know, for my future husband only. And actually my future husband was Nick Lachey. And I met him at 18 years old, and he's 8 years older than me. And one thing that I loved about him so much is that he respected that person in me. And he really did, he knew what I stood for, and he was
he was in love with that girl, you know, but I was a girl. I was not, you know.
And that's really the
I was not grown up yet.
Yeah. So when you saw The Notebook the first time, did you have any regrets about passing on this romantic?
You know what's funny is that, like, well, I mean, it's not funny. It was actually really sad. I had just, you know, signed the divorce papers. And I was flying home to go be with my Nana and my family, and The Notebook was on the plane.
And you were like,
and I was bawling. Flight attendants were like coming up to me, like giving me Kleenex after Kleenex after Kleenex.
You were like, oh no.
I was like, oh, it's this love story and it's so beautiful. And I'm glad I'm not watching myself right now up there doing that. But, you know, I mean, Rachel McAdams definitely was the best for that role. But I did turn that down because there were a lot of movies that I turned down.
Can you tell us any other ones?
I mean, I turned down Coyote Ugly.
Okay.
There was another, A Walk to Remember, I did not do.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Cue
Nicholas Sparks.
I love Nicholas Sparks too.
I love a humble brag. You know, a moment of humility wrapped in bravado. You know what I'm saying?
In her defense.
Okay, come on and defend her.
She was asked, you know, what other movies did you
pass? Well, what else?
Well, she wasn't going to drop it on us.
She's like, well, what? Let me see the Oscar nominated. I turned down Malcolm X. You know?
I said, no, I won't dye my hair red.
I'm not going to do it. As we've heard today, I mean, we've been following Jessica throughout her career. And of course, there have been some ups, there have been some downs. In this interview, she really opened up, though, to us about where she was in her life at that time, just last year, and how she's found new meaning in all of her story. Listen to this.
You know, like, for me, like, in quarantine, like, so active. Like, yeah. I'm not training or anything like that, but like I'm all like going on walks, you know, anytime I'm feeling anxious, go around the block, take your kids, push the stroller, you know? And you know, for me, like, I'm just like, I'm in a very confident place in my life. And I really do think that it's because I released the memoir Open Book, because I feel like, now it's, if people judge me, whatever. Like, they know the truth, and if they want to judge the truth, they can.
Well, for the book, Jessica, thanks for sharing all of that. We covered so much on Access Hollywood, and I think it's one of the things that makes you so wonderful is all the vulnerability. If there was one word, how would you describe your 20s in one word?
Coming to age?
Yeah. What about
that didn't happen in my teens like everybody else.
So that's your 20s.
I had a family and then I got married and then I was on my own, you know? So then that was my coming to age.
What about your 30s? How would you describe that in one word?
Lots of babies.
Babies.
Pregnant. I feel like I was pregnant throughout my entire years being 30. Well, Birdie was kind of unexpected, but a beautiful, unexpected blessing. I mean, like, from that's like my 30s is like love, marriage, babies, And then, like, really, like, the end of my almost 3 years now, was me, like, facing my demons of whatever I'd been through in the past and letting it go. And to do that, like, I gave up drinking. Just, I really thought that it was giving me more confidence, and it was actually making me quiet. You know, it was making me not even like speak, really, like just kind of just quiet. And that's just not really who I am at all. And I didn't recognize myself. I wasn't being myself. So I got to that place of like strength and courage to like face every fear and like get to the other side of it. And it's been such a blessing. Like, it's been such a blessing because now everything that I do, well, everything that I've always done has been honest. I'm a horrible liar. Like, I can't lie. But everything that I do is honest. And it was time for me to be honest about my life in ways that people wouldn't expect or, you know, ever imagine.
Good for her. I really appreciate the candid nature with which she's opened up about her sobriety, and then also the journey to that point, you know, like essentially relying on these substances and assuming that it's making you better or stronger or more confident. And then one day, you know, finding the strength or willpower to say, not only do I not need this, it's a lie that I've been telling myself around who I am and who I'm not without this sort of crutch or whatever you might want to call it. What really stood out to me in the beginning of that clip was the confidence with her being beyond people pleasing, beyond being understood even, because I think we all can relate to, wait, that's not what I meant. Wait, no, they're getting that wrong about me. No, they're saying that, but it's not true. And there's a certain freedom that comes with, for lack of a better phrase, just not giving a fuck anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I love hearing her say that, you know, pushing into her 40s, it's like, I know the truth and that's all that matters. Because to be someone who's grown up in the spotlight, essentially, you've been conditioned to care what your audience thinks and give them more of what they expect. So for her to sort of break free of that and say, I am who I am, I know what I know, take it or leave it. I mean, that is a big life lesson. And it's one that I think a lot of people don't get the privilege of experiencing. So I love that she did.
Yeah. I mean, when you said that, you know, you realize that maybe the substance, whether it's the drinking in particular, it's actually not doing the thing I thought it was doing for me. It's actually making me worse, not better. And then how, whether it's willpower, whether it's utilizing tools that are there or a support system, then stepping into your real authentic power, like your real situation, your real scenario, where you're able to then look back at your life in a way that's like, man, these last 20 years have been, they've been full of ups and downs, but they've been pretty, pretty glorious. And then to be able to glean some, maybe even some lessons for other people, right? To pull some other wins for other people in writing a book about it. You know, I started thinking about some of the other people, at least in the last year, who talked about their sobriety. And Brad Pitt is another one of those people who was like, I gotta, and that played out in front of all of us, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, to hear her talk about, it was interesting to me when she was like, I spent my 30s pregnant. just babies. Just, I was the baby factory is what I was.
She asked one word. She was like, lots of babies. Okay,
lots of babies. Three pregnant. Babies.
I love her. Well, you guys should definitely check out the book if you haven't, Open Book. She does really reveal a lot. It's incredibly intimate, particularly the areas of relationships, some of her former relationships, some a little more high profile, some of those celebrity pairings. I was fascinated to learn about, obviously, her sobriety and so much more. She is clearly not slowing down anytime soon. She's got her hands full. She's got a bunch of babies now. She got a bunch of kids running around.
Right. She said, I'm out for a walk. I'm out for a walk around the block.
Listen, I need a minute, guys. But we cannot wait to see what she comes out with next. She's definitely teased a few projects in recent interviews. So we'll see soon enough, obviously, what's in store. Subscribe to the show. Okay. If you're not subscribed, you need to just do it right now. Just take a second.
Do it right now.
Hit the button.
Apple Podcast.
Spotify. We are quite literally wherever you get your podcast. Okay.
Where you are.
Cool. We'll see you on the next one. Bye, guys.
Later.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.